Hello, this is J.P. Kirsch, and I'm your moderator. I'm here tonight with State Senator Vincent Hughes, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Hughes or any of his guests, press star 3 at any time on your phone's keypad. Now let's welcome Senator Vincent Hughes.
Thanks, J.P. Appreciate you, sir. We want to thank everybody for participating in tonight's call. As J.P. indicated, and as you know, I'm Senator Vincent Hughes, and I'm holding this live telephone town hall where we're going to be discussing COVID-19, trying to answer as many questions as possible, and we're going to be also talking about our Stop the Virus campaign that myself and my wife just launched about 2-3 weeks ago. And so we believe that we can win on COVID, and we've just got to do the right things. Three things specifically, you know, get a mask, get the test, and get the vaccine so that we can go ahead and win on this disease and save lives. We've got, again, utilizing our concept, utilizing our philosophy that we started this off over a year ago. Trusted messengers provided to deliver trusted messages. We've got three really important guests who can really guide us through any new developments that's happening with COVID-19, what's happening with the variants, what's happening with the vaccine, the rollout of the vaccine, the ramp-up of the vaccine, things of that nature. And I want to introduce them right now, Dr. Priscilla Posse from the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and the Region 2 Chairperson of the National Medical Association. Dr. Bill King from the Pediatric and Adolescent Center of Philadelphia, and who's also the Vice President of the local National Medical Association chapter, and Justin Harlan from the Philadelphia Department of Public Health. As JP indicated, if you've got any questions at any time during the course of the call, press star 3 on your phone. Press star 3 on your phone. And now, why don't we take a minute just so they can introduce themselves from each one of our guests, and then we'll begin the conversation, and we'll start taking any questions. Dr. Posse, Priscilla Posse, you want to introduce yourself to everybody?
I will. Thank you so much, Senator, and I'm glad to be joined by my colleague, Dr. Bill King, and also Justin Harlan. Again, I'm Dr. Priscilla Posse, a pediatrician here in Philadelphia, and as we're going to be answering questions about COVID-19. You may have a question in your mind is, I'm getting information from pediatricians about this vaccine, yet I'm an adult. I want to let you know that pediatricians really are vaccine ambassadors, vaccine experts, in the sense of we deal with vaccines every day in terms of childhood vaccines, and so we have a very strong understanding of how they work, why they work, and more importantly, how to communicate about safety and reassurance about vaccines to families and children. And in us taking care of children, we're also taking care of parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, which is you all. And so our major focus is how do we ensure the health and wellness of families? And when we think about wellness, I'm sure, again, Senator Hughes mentioned we're almost a year into this pandemic. So of course, many are thinking, will I get my job back? Can I see loved ones? How do I get back out into the community? Is it safe for me? Can I stay healthy? And that's why the vaccine is so important. And so with getting the vaccine is also making sure you're understanding and getting that information. And so tonight you'll be hearing from both the physicians and then also our experts at the health department about why to get the vaccine, how to get it, and then those next steps. So looking forward to the conversation.
Thank you, Dr. Posse. Appreciate you. Dr. Bill King, want to say hello to everybody?
Yes, hello. Hi, I'm Dr. Bill King. I'm a local pediatrician. I've started a children's hospital, trained back when Will Smith was still the Fresh Prince. And I'm now have been in this this game of taking care of children for more than 25 years, and I've done the math, and I think I've given more than 500,000 vaccinations. So I'm responsible for vaccinating twice as many vaccines as there are children in Philadelphia. So that's a lot of shots ordered. So I know a lot about vaccinations and also a lot about infections. We pediatricians have to deal with a lot of those. And
that's right.
So this coronavirus is, we're ready. To try to answer questions. and a member of the National Medical Association, just so everyone understands. The National Medical Association is the affiliate that represents African-American physicians in the United States. And we have local chapters like the American Medical Association. We unified when we did not have access to the American Medical Association, and so we still are fighting to represent African-American physicians and also all communities of color.
There you go, Dr. Bill King. And that's 500,000 vaccines over the course of your lifetime of practicing, not in the last couple of months, right, sir?
I would love to be able to give that 500,000 vaccines myself in the next couple months, too. That would be great to me.
Very good. Justin Harlem from the Department of Public Health for the City of Philadelphia. Can you say hello to everybody?
Absolutely. Good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. I am not a pediatrician. I guess I'm the only guest on the call who is not. I work for the City Health Department and am heavily involved in the vaccination program. Started back with testing. I can't believe it was about a year ago now. I'm happy to answer any questions. I know there's a lot of misinformation, half-truths out there. People tell you different things. It's my goal to help clear some of that up tonight and hopefully make sure everyone gets a shot in their arm as soon as possible.
Great, great, great. Thank you very much, Justin. Appreciate you. And again, Dr. Posse, Dr. King, and Justin, we really, really appreciate you giving up the next hour this evening to try to answer as many questions as possible and give good information to folks so that they know how to function and to go forward. Again, once again, folks, final reminder, and JP, make sure I'm doing this correct. If you have any questions, folks should press *3 at any time on your phone's keypad. That way we'll get you into the queue and try to get your question asked. A question asked and answered live tonight. We try to respond to all questions that come our way from our telephone town halls. Some we'll be able to answer this evening. Some will have to take a few days to answer as we have a record of everything, and then we try to get to everyone after the telephone town hall over the next couple of days. So with that and pressing *3, JP, I think we're ready to get this party started. All right?
All right, Senator. We're ready for our first question. We're going to go to West Philadelphia. Mrs. Bonds, you're live on the air with Senator Hughes and guests.
Can you hear me okay?
Can hear you, Mrs. Bonds. How are you this evening?
Good evening, everyone on the call. Thank you for being here, Senator Hughes. I absolutely adore you and your wife and what you're doing, so thank you. And she's actually someone I desire to meet, but that's another story. I wanted to ask, because it's so important, it's probably one of the reasons why you guys started off with my question. In the Black community, me, myself, I know that I am not comfortable with the shot as of now. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'll give you an example. My mother was in a nursing facility, and I had to make a decision on whether I would have it for my mother. So I made that decision for my mother to get it, but I wasn't okay with me getting it. My mother caught COVID and is no longer here. So I want to ask, with the history of racism in this country and having the vaccine come out so quickly under the tutelage of Donald J. Trump, there is so much uncertainty about the integrity of the process and actually our communities potentially being targeted. Mm-hmm. What do you say to someone like me or others that are even further? I don't knock anyone who gets it, but I'm just not there yet.
Open-minded,
that's why I'm here. But how would you convince me that, one, it's safe, because I'm not one to get vaccines at all. I'm a germaphobe, wash my hands all the time.
Okay.
What would you say to someone like me? How can we get the me's of the world to help with moving us forward if the vaccination is exactly what we need?
That's a really, really good question, Mrs. Brooks. I'm sorry to hear about your mom. Mrs. Bonds. I'm sorry to hear about your mom. I feel bad about that. But I think one of our doctors can jump in real quick and give a brief explanation on the history of how this vaccine was developed. Not quite real rapidly. Actually, it's been around. You know, the basis of it has been around for a long time, and the modifications were made to deal with COVID-19. So, Ms. Bonds, why don't you hold on for a second, and we'll let one of our doctors jump in real quick. Which, Dr. Posse,
yeah,
Dr.
I'd
King,
love
which
to,
one of you guys? Dr.
Yeah,
King?
Dr. King.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd love to speak on that. Ms.
Sure.
Bonner, I'm so sorry to hear about your mother, and I'd like to say, one, I've gotten my vaccine, my second dose. I feel much safer having gotten it. My dad was also able to get his dose out in the West Coast, both his doses, and I'm feeling much safer that he got it.
Which one did you?
But about a month ago now.
Which one?
What and
Pfizer.
What side effects?
No, which vaccine did?
I got the Pfizer BioNTech,
mm-hmm.
Which
okay.
is one of the mRNA vaccines, which we can talk about. But I do want to just comment on the idea that this moved very quickly and mm-hmm. in terms of the development. And I'd like to just explain, and also that President Trump guided that rapid movement and pushed things. And I'd like to just point out, as somebody who's who's worked at NIH a little bit way back when Anthony Fauci didn't have gray hair back in the late 80s when he first started there, that just like individuals that work for the IRS, just like Postal Service employees, just like NASA employees, just like National Weather Service employees, the members of the Centers for Disease Control and National Institutes of Health and the other federal scientific agencies that led many of the doctors all around the country who work in universities and other places, those federal officials are bureaucrats. They are they are employees who answer to the Constitution and the federal employee directions of the General Service Administration. So they answer to us. They don't answer to the White House. The White House was instrumental in mucking up the process and causing a lot of confusion and delays. But just like many things, these systems have been doing the research to lay the groundwork for these vaccines. The mRNA vaccines that came out in a year, that technology has been well developed since the 70s. Several vaccines have been actually made and are sitting on the shelf for other viruses with this same technology, but there's just never been the money to fund their manufacture. It was never worth it. What really made this thing move so quickly was the federal government paid each of these big vaccine manufacturers $1 billion, $500 million to $1 billion up front, just like when they're building a rocket to Mars, or just like when they're building an aircraft carrier. All the money was paid up front, so there were no delays waiting for financing, marketing, building plants, manufacturing. All of the money was paid up front. So they moved from step to step to step without having to wait for the market. So that's one of the reasons why this moved along. Many vaccines could be made this quickly. We could work on many different vaccines this quickly if the money was paid up front. The reason that happened is because the entire economy of the world was shut down in a period of a month or two. So that made governments ready to write the check. And
can I
the scientists.
Quick follow-up, Ms. Bonds, because we want to get to the other callers, all right?
Yes, I just a quick question. I have a teen daughter also. Her, during the vaccine time, I asked the question, do the manufacturers that you get your vaccines from, do they know the demographics of the individuals that you'll be vaccinating? And she said yes. And that is where I'm stuck. So thank you for clarifying how this happened so rapidly. But I think I speak for myself and others on the call where we're stuck, where our communities, I was told that my community has a high rate of COVID, right? But we couldn't get tested. But they can get vaccines into certain communities. How do we know that our communities aren't being targeted for something more sinister, that we're actually getting what we think we're getting? That, I think that's the biggest concern.
Thanks, Mrs. Bynes. Appreciate you calling. Any
of the
docs want to take that? Thank you very much, Ms. Bynes.
God bless you all. Be well.
Bless you as well. So we know, just to finish off that conversation, Dr. King, did I hear you want to jump in?
Yeah. Again, one of the things that is important to understand is that when the vaccines were being going through their phase one small trials, phase two, get the dose right trials, and phase three, get a large group of 40 or 50,000 people, we signed up. Those trials were done all around the country and in several countries around the world, and almost 15% of the people who signed up were Black, and same 10 or 15% who were Latino. So these vaccines were studied on different ages, different races, different parts of the country to try to make sure that they worked in all different populations. That's one thing that was done and was done very purposefully. And the second part is that when the vaccines have now become available, they are available across the country based on criterion, which mainly have to do with your age, medical risks, and whether you have risk of exposure by being, for example, me getting mine because I was a frontline medical worker. So it is true that they do collect demographics. But those demographics are not connected directly to the vaccination, so they try to keep count so that they can make sure that it is equitable. For example, right now we're finding out that a significantly larger population of white Americans are receiving the vaccination than the proportion of Black Americans in the population. So right now it appears to be an issue of access.
Right. But let's just finish off this piece, and I think an important personal piece of information that you can share is that, you know, after practicing for months and months and months since COVID began, you got COVID, correct?
That's right. And the mask, the social distance, the problem about COVID is you can wash your hands as much as you want, but you can't if you breathe. COVID is transmitted mainly through the air.
Mm-hmm.
So in my case, it was families who, you know, we had a lot of families coming in, and we were maintaining many screenings and social distancing and all of those things. But just like any soldier, regardless of the amount of protection, it's the amount of exposure. And so in the city, around every time you go to the supermarket, we're being exposed to folks who have their masks down, who are exhaling. And if the mask has a gap in it or is not tight, then that's all it takes to
potential
inhale.
Potential for spread. Or, right.
And,
but
to catch, and to catch COVID.
You got it. It wasn't pleasant. You got over it. And then you had a chance, then the vaccine became available, and you took the vaccine, correct?
Yes, and that's because right now it looks like natural infection does not give extended protection. And so our immune systems, remember the virus, when it infects us, is not only teaching our immune system, it is attacking us.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't seem to be generating complete and long time protective immunity, everyone, from natural infection, and the virus also can change. The vaccine is made to train the immune system and it seems to be generating a little bit longer immunity. So I didn't want to risk the chance of my immunity being not strong enough to prevent me from getting reinfected. So the vaccination gives my immune system. It's basically the vaccine is like a booster dose for me. The infection was like the first training, and the vaccination is like my booster.
Got it. Thanks, Dr. King. That explanation is helpful. We've got a ton of calls in the queue. JP, should we go to our next caller?
Let's go to the next caller, Senator Hughes. Bill from East Falls, you're on live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Senator,
hey, Bill.
Senator, thanks for having this. My wife and I are both senior citizens. We just got our second shot last week, so we're waiting.
Congratulations.
2 weeks for our superpowers to kick in, but we're wondering how that's going to affect our ability to see our adult kids who aren't eligible to get the vaccine yet, and our grandkids who obviously can't get the vaccine yet.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, some of our grandkids are out of town. Can we go visit them? Can we have meals with them? Can we stay with them? Those kinds of things.
Justin, Dr. Posse, which one of you all want to take that question from Bill?
Yeah, this is Dr. Posse. I will start, and if Justin wants to jump in, and congratulations on getting your superpowers. Mine as well, and feeling that extra layer of protection, which is so important. Those are two great questions. You know, as of now, as the community is, you know, we're getting our frontline workers, our healthcare workers, our service industry, you know, workers vaccinated, we're still enforcing and still really asking for our community, right, to have that first layer of protection, wearing a mask, washing your hands, being at a safe distance. You know, the vaccine does give that layer of protection. You know, as Dr. King mentioned in the last, you know, comment, is that, you know, those who may have been exposed to COVID, right, it's still passed on through the air. So you have the protection, and we're still having people be mindful, right, of just interacting with others at this time. What that means, though, right, is as they start to get access to the vaccine, that then will allow for more opportunities for engagement. You know, we're still, if you have to congregate in a small group, you know, no larger than a group of 10, but knowing that you have protection is now providing a layer of protection for, as you said, your adult children and your grandchildren. So again, we do want you to be mindful as you're traveling. You are noticing that some states are lifting their travel requirements. That does not mean that we are not still protecting ourselves, right? So if you are engaging, wearing a mask, washing your hands, and even if you're in the same home, right, being at a distance, keeping the mask on in the home. The interesting part with the children, right, is children are not eligible. The vaccine is for 18 years and older. But as more people receive the vaccine, right, you're also, that is a layer of protection for the children. So the vaccine not only protects you for either getting infected or minimizing how severe the illness can be, but it also can prevent or limit transmission, right? So that's why the more people that get the vaccine, we'll start to see a decline in the spread of COVID-19. So what we would say, I know Easter's coming up. I had a family member ask me this, a family asked me this question just yesterday. I want to be able to see my family for Easter. And what we said is, if you've received the vaccine and you know that you're going to be around family that you've been in contact with, staying within the home, no more than 10 people, right, having that conversation, but also being mindful that you're not going around people who may be at higher risk for COVID, as we know, people with asthma, diabetes, other co-illnesses that can impact that. So I always say, too, talk to your physician about some of those questions when it has to do with your own personal health as well. But thank you for getting the vaccine, and I certainly hope that you're encouraging your neighbors and your other family members to get it as well.
With the superpowers. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Thank you, Dr. Posse. JP, next caller.
Yes, sir. All right, we're going out to Matty Young. Caitlin, you're on live with Senator Hughes and his guests.
Hey, Caitlin, how are you this evening?
Good. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Thank you for joining us.
My question is it safe for pregnant people to get the vaccine?
All right. Any one of our doctors want to take that one?
Yeah, this is Dr. Posse, and the answer is yes. Just as I mentioned, you definitely want to have that conversation with your OBGYN. There's an organization, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, short ACOG, A-C-O-G, that has come out and published a statement that they are encouraging all women who are expecting to get the vaccine. Again, that protects them and protects their family. And then for anyone listening, any mothers who are breastfeeding, as you know, pediatrician, we're breastfeeding champions, you can also still get the vaccine if you're breastfeeding. Again, every pregnancy, every expectant mother is different, right, and may have other, you know, aspects to consider. So having that dialogue, again, with your OBGYN, yes, it is safe. The one thing to consider is that pregnant women were not included in the vaccine trials. You could understand why that would be the case. You know, at the same time, the data did reveal that it would be safe. So definitely encouraging that. And dependent on where you are in the phase, you'd be eligible to receive the vaccine.
Very good. Thank you very much, Dr.
Right,
Pasi. Thank you, Caitlin. All righty. JP, who's
all
next?
Right, next up is Marilyn from Allentown. Marilyn, you're on live with Senators, Hughes, and Guests.
Hey, Marilyn.
Okay. So, hi. You can hear me?
Yep. Can hear you real good.
Okay, good. Now, my concern is the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Okay, we had this one shot vaccine, and then we had the Pfizer and the Moderna that were two shots. And a lot of people, we see the one shot deal, and we think, okay, this is good. I don't have to think about going back the second time and getting my second shot, because a lot of people either forget or they have something to do, and they don't get their second shot for whatever reason. I want to know, how good is that shot, that one-shot deal with the Johnson & Johnson versus the two shots with the Moderna and the other vaccine?
All right. That's a good question, Marilyn. We haven't heard from Justin yet. Justin, you want to take some of this, or would you like to defer to one of our doctors?
Well, I always defer to doctors on medical questions.
Okay.
However,
the data on the shots shows that all three of them are actually quite effective. The Moderna and the Pfizer, which are these mRNA vaccines, are 95% effective against all versions of infection. And many of the studies in Israel and other places are showing that they are approaching 100% effective against preventing severe illness and death. That is with two shots. With many vaccines, the first shot is a primer shot that teaches your immune system. The second is a booster. But when you do the study, you can study to see if one shot will provide enough of that priming and boosting to get the job done. That's what Johnson & Johnson did. It was done at a different time, and so the numbers are a little different because it was a different era when some of these new strains were coming out that can be a little more problematic. But it shows 85% effectiveness against the severe illness and all across, and above 90% effectiveness for the severe illness and death, which is the thing we want vaccines to protect against. And it is true against some of the strains that are emerging, it is less effective. But we believe all the vaccines may be less effective to some of these new strains. The key is to get one of any of them, and to be comfortable with that they will when they're taken correctly, they will give you that very high protection against being hospitalized, ventilated, or dying.
Very important information. Very, very important information. And I would just, as I understand it, and Justin or the two docs can correct me on this, we need to put the, I guess the word is efficacy, the effect or effectiveness, for lack of a better word, of the Moderna, the Pfizer, and the J&J vaccines on COVID versus your normal flu vaccine. Now, it's my understanding, you all correct me if I'm wrong, it's my understanding the flu vaccine has, which we, you know, the flu shot that we get every year, right? You know, we're supposed to get every year. That's more like a 50% kind of effectiveness. Whereas we're talking about with these these vaccines, these shots that we're talking about for COVID are 85, 95, that level. So as we process this, we got to understand that, you know, we got to put all, context is important. Details and context is important. So if I'm wrong on my flu shot efficacy, you docs and Justin, you tell me, okay? But I think that's what I understand the deal to be.
Yeah, Senator Hughes, that's a great point that I was going to add in. This is Dr. Posse, and I appreciate the question. I just want to say we have such a well-versed audience that asking really, really important questions. So with the two shots, as Dr. King said, the second shot does give you, you can call it a boost. It is boosting that immune system additionally to get to that, you know, above 95% of protection. And with the one shot, you are still getting a very, very strong immune response. Our flu shot actually is a little bit above 50%. It's about closer to 70%.
Okay.
And the reason I say 70% is great is some of you, right, may have said, well, I got the flu shot 1 year, or I had a friend who got the flu shot 1 year, and then maybe a month later, you know, you're at work, and then you come home, you get tested, I have the flu, but how did I get the flu if I got the flu shot? And what you'll notice is that the symptoms that you have because of the flu vaccine are not going to be as severe as if you had not had the vaccine at all, right? Your body was still able to fight against the virus, where you're now able to manage the symptom at home with supportive care, and you're not getting the severity of symptoms that may lead you to be in a hospital or even worse. So the one shot is certainly strong enough to give you that first layer of protection. The two-shot vaccine, again, is giving you the extra boost. So again, you know, we're still, the Johnson & Johnson one, I think that, you know, the caller said, is great because the best time frame is at 3 to 4 weeks. And if you can't make it in 3 or 4 weeks' time, or, you know, falls off your schedule, you have the one shot with the Johnson & Johnson, and that's going to still give you a very high level of protection.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Dr.
You know, and I want to make one example. That 85, 95% protection versus letting yourself catch coronavirus, that's about the same difference between driving a car without a seatbelt and airbag or driving a car with seatbelts and airbags.
Good comparison. Good comparison. Very good comparison. Well, you're a smart guy, Dr. King. I mean, thought of that one. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. JP, after that.
All right, sir.
Let's get some more questions in here, man. Dr. King gave us a good one with that one.
All right, we're going to go out to West Philly. We're going to go out to West Philly to hear from Mary. Mary, you're on live with Senator Hughes and his guest.
Yes.
Hi, Mary.
I don't have access to Internet. How can I get an appointment for the vaccine?
All right. Justin, you want to try that one?
Justin.
I would love to, Senator. I've been waiting for my turn. We've got two great doctors who are answering questions.
There you go.
Mary, quite simply, dial 311.
Okay, thank you.
Tell them you want to sign up for the vaccine interest form and you need assistance with it because you do not have Internet access. They will be able to register right on the phone call with you.
They're open 24 hours, right?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
There you go.
You're welcome.
That may be the best information we got tonight. See, Justin? All right.
Yes.
Absolutely, Justin.
If I can provide an easy answer.
Yes, Justin, this is Dr. Coffey. If I can follow up with my own question, is who's eligible right now to use the system you just talked about? Who's able to get the vaccine right now in Philadelphia? That's a question I've been getting a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So currently we are in phase 1B. Phase 1A, just like Dr. King, involved or contained medical workers who are on the front line treating those with COVID. 1B includes individuals over 75 years of age, anyone with a high-risk medical condition. And we have a list of those on our website. They include diabetes, cancer, HIV, Down syndrome, any illness where you really have a compromised immune system. thereby increasing your chance for a severe illness. And we also have frontline workers throughout the city. So food service workers, teachers, SEPTA workers, anyone with a job who interacts directly with the public on a regular basis, they're also currently eligible to be vaccinated.
Very good. Very good, Justin. Right. Very good. Thank you. And Justin, the city's website, would you want to let everybody know what's the best website for the city of Philadelphia?
Sure. So phila.gov is obviously the city website. There is a link for COVID updates right on the homepage. And at the top of the page, in a big red banner, is a link to sign up for the vaccine interest form, which if anyone on the call hasn't done, I highly recommend you do it as soon as you can. Once you're eligible for a vaccine and we're able to offer you an appointment, someone from the city will then reach out to you in order to get you scheduled for that vaccine.
Great. So phila.gov, right? That's the website, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And, of course, the state website is healthpa.gov, healthpa.gov. For those who are calling from Montgomery County, it's montgopa.org/COVID-19. And, of course, you can always go to the best website in the whole wide world, senatorhughes.com/coronavirus. All right? JP, some more calls. What you got, sir? Who's next?
Out to Overbrook Park. Linda, you're on with Senator Hughes and his guests.
Hello. So my question is, hello, how are you? Can you hear me
okay? Great. Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Okay. Okay. I have a family member that's incarcerated in a prison in Pennsylvania. And I talked to him about a week ago, and he told me the virus is in the prison, on his block, actually. They keep them on lockdown 23 and a half hours a day because of the virus. And I haven't heard from him in a week, and I'm getting very worried. He calls me and he always asks, have you heard anything yet? Like, when are they going to come here, you know, to vaccinate us? And it's like I want to cry because I can't help him, but I'm hoping I can get answers here to see when inmates may be getting vaccinated, because it's getting very scary for him, especially for him, because he can't go anywhere. For them to keep them locked down and they can only come out a half hour a day, that's pretty bad, you know. So
any one of our guests want to try that one?
My understanding is that prison inmates are part of the congregate setting group, and that would be that's group 1B. The state is currently not quite in 1B. They're kind of between 1A, which means frontline workers and nursing home residents, and 1B, which is elderly, high-risk medical, and some of the congregate work folks. But that, it looks like it probably is going to take the state at least 2 weeks to a month to get through the rest of the 1A and into some of those other groups. The only word I've heard about moving other groups in that line has been that the governor might be giving some of the specific new vaccines to teachers to get them into the schools. But I have not heard that that prison or other congregate settings groups have moved up, and so I would estimate a month. I'm not sure if Justin or the senator have better.
I just sent a message to our Secretary of Corrections, John Wetzel, to see if he can get us an answer before this call is over. But I think that was Linda who just asked us. If you could call our office tomorrow, 215-879-7777, 215 879-7777. We'll try to see if we can get a little bit more details. And just leave on your message, because the office is still operating remotely. Just leave on your message that you called into the town hall this evening with this specific question. What I know is that as we're hamstrung, although President Biden and Vice President Harris have done a really excellent job of taking nothing, which is what the last administration left us with respect to COVID, taking nothing and making something out of it and ramping up the amount of vaccines that are available to folks. But President Biden and Vice President Harris have really had to try to create this thing as they've gone on. What we know is that the more vaccines we get, the faster we're able to get people vaccinated. But let's see if we can get some specificity to that for the broader public and for you specifically, Linda. And I'm looking at a message that from the commissioner. So it's the secretary. So it looks like in the next couple of weeks, we'll be able to begin a slow rollout of the process of getting those individuals incarcerated, at least at the state level, vaccines. So this is probably in the next couple of weeks that process is going to begin. So keep posted on that, and we'll let everybody know as more information comes out. JP, right. Next caller.
Yes, sir. Going to North Philly, Andre from North Philly. You're on live with Senators Hughes and guests.
Yes, how you doing? My name is Andre. My question is to all, how long does the vaccine actually last? And do you have to take it every year like the flu shot?
Dr. Posse?
Yeah, this
Dr.
is
King.
Dr. Posse. Yes, Dr. Posse, that is a great question. And the answer is time will tell as we continue to vaccinate more people. You know, Dr. King had mentioned his experience with COVID-19 and having some protection from being infected and his immune system having that response, and that goes away over time. Vaccines, right, give us an immunity. They give us a boost. They protect us. And there are some vaccines, like the flu vaccine, as you said, that we get it every year because the flu has a couple strains. You know, I like to call them cousins or in the same family. And so a yearly vaccine allows us to get broader protection against different strains. We will be able to know within 9 to 12 months as they start to study those people who've gotten the vaccine, see if they've developed the antibodies, see how long those last. You know, Dr. Fauci said he anticipates that at least in the first few years it will be yearly to ensure that we're building that protection. So the answer is time will tell. As you know, there are some vaccines that you get them in childhood and we have protection for, you know, over a lifespan almost, like chicken pox, measles. Those viruses do work a little bit differently. Again, they're anticipating that COVID may be like the flu, but time will tell. You know, so right now what we are saying is as people get the vaccine, continue again with the basic precautions of wearing a mask, washing your hands, waving from a distance, right, so that we're still having that added layer of protection as we start to, you know, open our cities and our states and start to interact.
Great, great. Thank you, Dr. Posse. And callers know, as we take each one of your calls, soon as you ask the question, just make sure you're listening on the on your phone, because we're going to kind of disconnect the question and get right to the answer so that we can put ourselves in a position to take the next question. So that's how we're operating here. JP, who's next?
Well, that's from West Philadelphia. Wade from West Philadelphia. You're on live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Hey, Wade. Thanks for calling, man.
Yeah, good evening, Senator. And I want to thank you and the panel for your continued efforts to outreach to the community to give us information on how to move forward. My question is a little bit different with regards, obviously, initially with this, we've always heard about the COVID testing. So I haven't heard about where COVID testing is. Where do you go? And a part two of that question is, if you're fully vaccinated, does it have any, will it give you a false positive on your COVID test?
Justin, I'm going to let you get started in terms of where folks can deal with the testing piece, and then maybe one of our docs can answer the medical piece to that. Justin, you have a sense of where folks can go to either get the test or where they can find out where the test is available? Yo, Justin. Did we lose Justin?
I can answer that, Dr. King.
Okay.
The COVID testing is often available from your own doctor, the nasal test, which gives you an idea of do you currently have infection with coronavirus. That's the virus itself, the viral particles. It's also available at many of the urgent cares, and those you usually call in for a telemedicine and then can be seen that same day. Hospitals and emergency rooms do have the COVID test, but I wouldn't recommend going and exposing yourself to that much larger population of sick people in order to get something like a COVID test. And then the urgent cares and some of the others also have the blood test, which tests if you've ever been exposed. The other source that's very convenient for logging on online is the pharmacies, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid. Most of the major pharmacies also have either drive-through or appointment COVID testing.
Great, great. Justin, did I hear you jump back in?
Justin might be muted.
And finally, there are some rapid COVID tests that some of the different sources have. Those are not quite as perfectly accurate, but they are very quick. They can be as quick as 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The nasal swab is often, it takes almost, it's anywhere from a day to 2 or 3 days, depending on the backlog. And the blood test is, like, again, not telling you whether you're immediately infected, but it's telling you whether you've ever been exposed.
Got it. Dr. Posse, what is your position on, and that's good information, Dr. King. What is your position? Because we, as you remember, Dr. Posse, when we first started these conversations with COVID, it was about testing and getting that test and getting really, really focusing on the test. We focus now on the vaccine, but testing is still relevant. Knowing your status is still relevant. What's your position on that?
Absolutely. That is the word, that it is still relevant. You know, I think first and foremost, if you have any symptoms that we know of with, you know, COVID-19, if you are developing a sustained cough, if you have high fever, you know, if you've been around someone that you know has had the infection, those are definitely symptoms that you want to be able to call your provider. You know, Justin gave the website. There's a phone number you can call the health department, but also call your primary care pediatrician and say, I have these symptoms. You know, they may instruct you to quarantine. What's really important is if you are living or around people who are at high risk, right? We certainly are encouraging even more to make sure you get tested, because you need to know if you can potentially spread COVID-19 to your loved ones. You know, again, you may be at higher risk, whether it's, you know, from asthma, diabetes, cancer, that if they were to get COVID-19, could develop some really severe symptoms. So we are still encouraging testing for yourself, for your neighbors, for your community. I think that, again, this is more of a community effort in terms of health, and additionally to get the vaccines when possible. So symptoms should put you on alert to make that phone call. This is where I am. Where can I go to get tested? Dr. King mentioned, again, your local, your primary is a great source as well. And you'll actually see that many of the testing sites are starting to convert to vaccine access points, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that we want to ensure your health. And so there are organizations, I will certainly mention one, Black Doctors COVID-19 Consortium, spearheaded by Dr. Ayla Sanford, right, making sure that we are going into the community to provide you access to your vaccine. So you may not see you may not see that testing site that you may have seen 2 months ago, because now it is a vaccine site. They're still offering the testing at your primary care physician.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Posse. All right, JP.
I think we have time for another caller, Senator. Let's go to Angela in West Philly. Angela, are you on Senator Hughes?
Yes. Good evening to everyone, and thank you. My question, my situation is just very recently I was diagnosed with COVID to the point that I was in the hospital. I was on oxygen, but I wasn't sent home with oxygen. So just a little over 2 months I've been home. I'm a frontline worker. I'm a SEPTA worker. I just wanted to know, is there a waiting period before I get the vaccine, or can I just go right in and get my vaccine right away?
To the doctors, I would suspect that,
yes,
that Angela should probably check with her physician about that, right? But I mean,
that's right.
The
previous
school, so.
Directives was 90 days, but currently, in terms of when you should wait, it's usually 30 days when you're
right.
being screened for the vaccine. But your doctor needs to kind of give you that specific guidance.
All right, let's move to Overbrook now. Barbara in Overbrook, you're on with Senator Hughes and guests.
Hi, Senator and
guests. Hey, Barbara.
So my question, Justin kind of stepped in that space where I was, is I'm scheduled for the vaccine. However, I have never been tested, although I don't have any symptoms related to the COVID virus. But is it recommended that I be tested before taking the vaccine?
No, get the vaccine.
Okay.
Don't wait. Don't wait.
Keep your place in line. Don't step out of line.
Okay.
Don't wait.
Somebody else will take your spot.
Don't wait. Get that. Get that junk. All right?
Okay.
Get that junk. All right?
I hear you. Thank you, Dr. King. I appreciate your bluntness. Have a good night, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. I think we have,
thanks, Barbara.
I think we
go
have
ahead, JP.
One more question.
Okay.
Tracy, you're on live with Senator Hughes and his guests. Tracy, are you there? My computer's froze up.
Okay. We try one more if Tracy's not picking up.
All right. Michael from East Falls, are you there?
Yes, how you doing?
What's up, Michael? What you got, man?
So, as a black man who knows about the medical apartheid that happened to us, who's still not trusting the government and the pharmaceutical industry to have my best interest at hand, mm-hmm. what other holistic measures or remedies that can I take to protect myself from COVID if I'm pretty much against getting the vaccine right now until further information about it is out?
Good question, Michael. Good question. Dr. King, Dr. Posse, you guys want to try that one?
Well, natural infection, you're taking that risk that your immune system, the billions of viral particles, will win. So whenever you're fighting a billion things, it's better to have your immune system already trained and ready to fight it rather than being unprotected. The vaccine is not giving you an infection. It's showing your immune system what the virus protein looks like so it can develop its own immunity. But to get through COVID, it's very helpful to make sure you're taking vitamin D to keep your vitamin D levels up, taking a multivitamin to keep your immune, you know, your rest of your immune system and your body strong. Things like good humidity in the house and taking ginger. And some of the other kind of simple herbs like peppermint and things to help just with your getting through a cold. But COVID is much more dangerous than a regular cold. So those same things that kind of would get you through a cold may not protect you against COVID infection. And more importantly, transmitting COVID to a more vulnerable older person is really the thing that you can't recover from, is infecting some, you know, an auntie or a grandmother who hasn't yet got her vaccination because you caught COVID and gave it to them.
Very, very.
Yeah, and Dr. King, I just want to jump in there just to emphasize that, you know, holistic measures are an added boost of our immune system to a vaccine. I will just say in my experience since last March 2020 that healthy colleagues, you know, 20-year-olds, 50-year-olds that have gotten COVID have had severe symptoms, and some of them are no longer with us. You know, so we know that the vaccine will offer that layer of protection. We also know that vaccines have done so much to decrease the spread, even eliminate disease. My big example is chickenpox. I had chickenpox when I was a child. The vaccine came out just a couple of years after, and, you know, we have children today that have never heard or even seen chickenpox. So we know that vaccines are effective, they're safe. I think it gives that reassurance and peace of mind that you're not only protecting yourself, but your loved ones as well.
I think that's a very good response, Dr. Pasi and Dr. King. I think, you know, I would just say in general, the healthier you are, the stronger that you are, right? You know, utilizing Dr. King's analysis of, you know, driving down the highway with airbags is with the vaccine. Driving down the highway without airbags is without the vaccine. And, you know, if the longer you drive without the airbags, you know, it's the potentiality of infection or being an accident, the damage that could come from that is severe. And in this case, what it seems to me is that with COVID, you're driving down the highway at a very high rate of speed, without the airbags. And that's what it seems to me that the vaccine provides for you with those, is the airbags to kind of protect you, and also very important point, to protect others from getting the infection, protect others from getting the virus. Extremely important. It's not just about the mask wearing, the vaccine, the getting the test. It's not just about you. The mask wearing, getting the test, getting the vaccine is also about you and other people in your community, other people you engage with. So very, very good points. We have run past our allotted time for our town hall. I want to thank everybody for jumping on and being part of it. Lots of people, unfortunately, did not get a chance to get their questions answered. However, we've recorded everything. Always make sure you give our office a call, 215-879-7777, or go to my website, senatorhughes.com, and we have tons of information there. I want to put out a couple of pieces of information. Health.pa.gov, health.pa.gov, excellent website, but it's for the state of Pennsylvania to get coronavirus information. The City of Philadelphia's website, phila.gov, phila.gov, and the vaccine hotline, vaccine phone number. If you don't want to call 311, you can call the full number, 215-685-5488, 215-685-5488. And there were a number of questions in the queue that didn't get asked that talks about senior citizens and getting them signed up for the vaccine because they're not on computers. Just do that 311 call. Do that 311 call. If you're in Montgomery County, montcopa.org, montcopa, M-O-N-T-C-O-P-A.org, and they have a vaccine phone number, 833-875-3967, 833-875-3967. And, of course, you can always call and reach out to my office, my website, senatorhughes.com/coronavirus, senatorhughes.com/coronavirus. We want everybody to join our Stop the Virus campaign. We want everybody to join our Stop the Virus campaign to get a mask, get the test, get the vaccine. You should be seeing lots of information about that. And I appreciate everyone who's been participating so far. Just this past Monday, we gave out 5,000 masks to senior citizens across the region. 5,000. We tend to increase that in the next month. And we did and Dr. King was a participant, a Zoom call talking to young black men about what's important about COVID-19 and why they should take this thing seriously. And we'll be doing more on that in the coming future. JP, after I thank guest, Dr. Priscilla Posse from Children's Hospital, Dr. Posse, how do people find you? Because they want to find you because you did such a good job tonight.
They
how do. People find
thank you?
You.
They do. If you got a phone in your hand on the laptop, you can find me. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, at Priscilla Posse, first name, last name. You can go to the CHOP website. I'm there. If you have children, bring them to 48th and Market. I'm happy to see them at the clinic. Senator Hughes, his website, his Twitter page, I'm tagged there as well. I'm out in the community. Come find me. Come talk to me.
There you go. Dr. Bill King, how do folks find you?
So you can reach me for practice, PAMCOP.com. That's our practice. And you can reach the National Medical Association chapter, NMA. And we're the Medical Society of Eastern Pennsylvania, and NMAMSEP.net.
There you go. There you go. Justin, you still with us, man?
You can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. How do people find you, Justin?
Great. You can email me, justin.harlem@phila.gov. Or if you have general vaccine questions, you can email the health department at vaccines@phila.gov.
There you go. There you go. If you didn't have a chance to get your question asked, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we'll be able to get back to you in the next day or two. Thanks for all of our participants. Thanks for our guests. Thanks, JP. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 215-879-7777. Or visit my website at senatorhughes.com. Thanks, everyone. Appreciate you all. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for participating in Senator Vincent Hughes' telephone town hall. You've been a great audience. Thanks for sharing your evening with us.